Welcome back to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. The holiday season is looming, and there are certain things that you must do with your content site to maximize your revenue over the Q4 season.
You know what's crazy is that it feels like the holidays are still pretty far away, right? I mean, I live in Florida. It's still 105 degrees out. Like, there's nothing except for the fact that the stores now have holiday displays, which I think is absurd. But it got me thinking this weekend. I was at Sam's Club, and they had they had a good amount of Christmas things out. They had, you know, wreaths and stuff that you put in your yard. And I thought, you know, anytime a big retailer does something, I think they spend a lot of money on marketing and research. So maybe we should copy like what these big guys are doing, because clearly they wouldn't be putting it out there if people weren't buying it, if it didn't work.
I mean, I was thinking whenever I see Halloween pop-ups, you know, those Halloween pop-ups come,
yes.
I immediately think, okay, now's the time to prep for the holiday season, because it takes time and you have to have a strategy, because once that period comes, you don't want to be like frantically figuring out what to do.
Right. And this actually reminds me of probably one of the best things I ever did for my business, but also something that almost killed me, was that September like 20th or 21st is the 100-day mark until Christmas. I don't know exactly, but it's like that time in September. And it was probably like September 16th, and I was, I think, probably laying in bed thinking like, oh, what am I going to do on my blog? This was like 2011, or it was a long time ago. And I was like, what am I going to do this year? Because for like someone in the lifestyle space, it's probably a little bit different for you. Like, traffic is always up in Q4. It's like our Super Bowl, right? Everyone wants recipes. Everyone wants crafts. Everyone wants projects. But I think more importantly, everybody's willing to spend money, right? There's this spending mentality over the holidays. So even though maybe you don't have anything related to like lifestyle, people are opening their wallets all the time. So it's easy for them to open their wallets for you.
It's actually my favorite time of year. I wish it was the holiday season all year round.
So even if you have a site like yours, which is more like entrepreneurship based, people are spending. So they're more likely to spend even on like, oh, I should buy this tool, or oh, maybe I'll sign up for this. And a lot of the tools have deals and discounts too. So, you know, 14 years ago, I'm laying in bed and I'm like, I got to do something for the holidays. And I thought, I wonder how many days there are till Christmas. And there was like 102 days till Christmas. And I was like, I bet I could do 100 homemade gifts and I'll post one a day every day for the next 100 days. And I'll have this big like repository and I'll kill it for SEO. I like did a quick search. Like, I was like, oh, this isn't like a hard, it's very hard to rank for it now, but it wasn't back then. And it must've been 2011. So, but I did this like the day before the 100 days started, right? So like I had to think of a homemade gift like right then. And then I had to think of 99 more over the next, you know. So I literally was like every single night either frantically like making a craft, or then I finally like got smart about 2 weeks in and was like, oh, I should take submissions. I should get people to submit there, because they could submit something that was already on their site. And I would just take, show a picture and link back to them. So they would, you know, it was like for them, it was link juice. So it was this great idea, because even though I didn't rank number one, but it went viral on Pinterest, because Pinterest was just starting out. And so I ended up getting millions and millions of page views on the main page where the hub was, where I linked to all the different things. And, you know, ad revenue is always up during the Q4. And so like, and then I turned it into ebook. Anyway, it became exceptionally profitable for me.
But, all right, wait, okay. So walk me through this. So you decided to do one piece of content a day for 100 days.
Yes.
And you wrote the initial content, and then it started ranking in Pinterest and you got all this traffic. Were those articles pointing to like affiliate offers or?
So no, I just wanted the traffic, because I knew that the CPMs were really high for ad networks. So I thought there was also some affiliate in there, like, oh, if I show somebody how to make, you know, some Mod Podge thing, I can link to like the Mod Podge on Amazon and stuff like that. But the main thing was to get people to my site.
You lost me. Sorry. What is a Mod Podge? Is that?
Come on, Steve. How do you not know what Mod Podge is? Jen knows. Get Jen over here. It's like that stuff that you... Okay. This is so terrible. You're Asian. I don't think Asian people use Mod Podge.
No, I just wanted to know what it was. That's all.
No, it's like a glue, but it's clear. So have you ever seen where like people take the top of like a desk or a coffee table and they put photos on it and then they kind of coat it so it's...
Oh, yeah, resin.
Yeah, but it's not resin, because resin's super expensive. Mod Podge is like Hobby Lobby based.
Got it.
So anyway.
Okay. Sorry for the sidetrack. Yes. You said it like I should know what it was.
Well, like, so every person I know has done something with Mod Podge. But when I started thinking about it, I was like, but I've never met anyone from another culture who's done anything with Mod Podge. I could be totally wrong, but, like, I feel like that's just, like, a white girl owns the Mod Podge, right?
Okay.
Yeah, it's, like, the white girl craft.
So, basically, your blog is not for Asians.
Well,
got it.
I do some math worksheets, so you'll be welcome there. So, anyway, like, my first thought was ad revenue. Then I thought, okay, there's no way I can come up with 100. Because I had already had, like, projects on my site that could be gifts, right? Like, giftable items that were homemade. But I didn't have 100. I probably had 15. So then I didn't, as you know, I wasn't good at math. So I was like, well, how do I come up with the other 85? And I was like, oh, I should ask for submissions. And people can submit their project that, like, would make a great gift, like, maybe, you know, those coasters where people, like, put initials on them, like, you know, or photo books or anything like that, like anything that was, like, homemade but you could give as a gift that was inexpensive. People already had those things on their site, so I just put it, like, on Facebook groups and in my, like, blog network. I said, hey, I'm doing this thing. If you have something you want to submit, I will feature it, I will use one image from your site, I will link back to you. And I also thought people will probably end up linking back to me, right? I'll probably get some backlinks from this as well. So that, you know, it'll benefit me in that way. And then, you know, I'll have this homepage with all 100 linked. So people will stay on my site more because they can always go back to the main page and then click back over to find other crafts and projects. So it worked. Like, my average page view per visitor was like 5 during that season. So it was kind of this multifaceted thing of, I'll get more page views, my ad network revenue will be up, more page views also means I can charge more for sponsored content, so then I'm going to make more that way. There's affiliate links in every craft, so then I'm going to make money that way. If a potential craft goes viral because people are now promoting this, then there's, you know, so there's all these different ways to make money from that. But what I realized from that whole thing was September 20th is too late. Like, that first year was nuts. Like, I had a terrible holiday season because I was just frantically trying to, like, get these posts up and do all this work for it. So as I walked into Sam's this weekend and was like, oh, there's Frosty the Snowman, I thought, what a perfect time to talk about, like, what people's strategy should be for Q4, because there's so much money to be made during that time. And I hate for people to miss out on not easy money, but easy opportunities.
All right. So now that you had this resource, do you have to do any work, or do you do this every year?
I did it for like 3 or 4 years. And so the second year I got smart, I started taking submissions. Well, I had all these extra submissions too, because it kind of went crazy. And people, like, there were people whose blogs, which I'm not, this is not my own credit, like, it went viral on Pinterest, but people's blogs took off because I shared their project. Because I was getting millions of page views, and then I shared their project, their blog went from, like, nobody had ever heard of them to, like, these people are still blogging today, right? Making a full-time income. Because that's really all it takes in blogging, is to get discovered sometimes, right? Like, have the right person link to you. And it wasn't necessarily me linking to them. It was the fact that that post had gone viral. And so many more eyeballs saw it than probably would have normally seen it of just, like, my regular readers.
Interesting. So I do something similar. And it doesn't matter if, like, we have a blog for Bumblebee. We do, like, the 12 days of Christmas sale. That's only 12 days, not 100 days.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would die if it was 100 days. The other thing that I do sometimes for this, I should do this again, actually, it's been a while, is I'll feature, like, students' products in, like, a holiday gift guide.
Yes.
These are all things that require prep.
That is a great, like, that's one of the easiest things to do for the holidays, is to make a gift guide. Because what's nice about a gift guide is that if you sell products as well, so maybe you have a content site, but you also sell products, you always put your products first, right? So I used to do this with my diffuser jewelry. I'd be like, amazing gifts for essential oil lovers. And, like, the top 5 gifts would all be my stuff. And then I would put, like, other essential oil products that, like, I didn't sell, like a car diffuser or something like that. So yeah, that's, like, a huge, easy way. And the other thing that's nice about gift guides, and what I did for a couple years, was that I then offered that out to other people. Like, hey, do you want to publish my gift guide? And obviously, like, it's duplicate content, but people are looking for content to publish. So if they can publish your gift guide and throw in their own affiliate links, right, you're still getting to promote your products, but they're getting the affiliate cut. You know, you've already done all the work for them to find all the products. And then they link back to you.
Wait, walk me through this. So if you came up to me and said, hey, Steve, would you like to publish your holiday gift guide with duplicate content? Do people say yes to that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Walk me through the rationale.
Okay. So let's just use, I'll use the essential oil ones because that's easy. A lot of people promote essential oils, right? So, Hey, I made this essential oil gift guide. Every product is available on Amazon. You know, it's a great thing to share with your audience because you already talk about essential oils, as well as you can replace the affiliate links with your Amazon affiliate links. And all I'm asking for is a link at the bottom, like thanks to Happy Housewife for collab, you know, putting this together.
But this exact post is on your site.
Yes. And the list is, but it's really just a listicle, right? So the beginning couple paragraphs are like, hey, I don't write the copy for them. So my copy probably looks a little bit different. But the list is the same.
Okay, so it's not duplicate content. The list is the same.
Yes.
Okay, got it. But, so they changed the intro or something like that.
Yeah. But it's close. I mean, it's not totally duplicate content, but it's close, right? The point is not so that you necessarily rank for that post. The point is for me to get a link back, and also my products are getting promoted, but then they just have content. Like if someone said to me, hey, I have a gift guide of like the top 20 stocking stuffers under $10, I'd probably repost that because I don't have to go look for 20 items.
Let me ask you this question. What is the rationale for doing a blog post for this as opposed to just sending this out via email like multiple times?
So I would do both.
Okay.
I would do both because when I think about the blog post as the hub, right? Well, sometimes you can't use Amazon links in an email.
Oh,
right?
Yes. Right.
So you have
right.
If you're using other links, like, you know, affiliate links, like reward style and things like that, you could do that. But so that's part of it. The other thing is like, I want a hub. So maybe I'm going to make a reel or a video, a TikTok of like, hey, these are the top 10 stocking stuffers, right? You know, then I'm going to lead people back to that blog post where they can like actually click through on the links and get more information about things.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. I was just thinking like, since I'm so SEO conscious,
yeah,
like stuff like that wouldn't rank. So I might not necessarily post it on my blog. Although I can see the need for a hub. Like if you want to do the affiliate stuff with Amazon, absolutely.
Well, the other thing to think about too, that's nice is that maybe you don't want it like on a main page on your site, but you make an Instagram post or a Twitter thread, right, where you talk about those posts. And then obviously you link back to like the URL that hosts all those for you. So you're not necessarily publishing it like a blog post, like it would go out in the feed of your blog post, but it still lives on your site in some place. Hmm.
Okay. Interesting. So I didn't even realize you did these things, to be honest with you.
Or they work great for YouTube too.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Wait. Okay, so walk me through this. And so this post, once it's live and it's starting to get Pinterest traffic, does it get Pinterest traffic every single year?
Usually.
Subsequently?
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay.
And sometimes you want to go through and like repin it or add it to a community or change up the image. Like that's the thing that I think people need to think about is a lot of people have done this already. This isn't like a new thing, but this is where I think is really important. And this is why I think you need to start doing it now is that go back to that post. A lot of times those companies that you're promoting have gone out of business or that product isn't for sale anymore, especially if it's on Amazon, right? So you want to make sure that those links are still good or that you need to switch them out or something like that. That's really important because the worst thing in the world is to like find out, you know, you look at analytics one day and you're like, oh, look at this post. It's getting all this traffic. Oh, crap. 6 of the 10 links don't work anymore, right?
Right.
Like, so this is like now is the time to go check all those things so that like when that post does start to get traction, everything's ready to go.
Hmm. Okay. I'm just curious on the posts itself, like what are some things that you do? You mentioned affiliate links. Is this like when you do your crazy lead magnet thing also? Like I know you have like a bajillion lead magnets. Yeah. Do you start creating them for each gift somehow to gather emails? Like what's your overall strategy? Is it the affiliate play or?
Affiliate play is definitely the overall strategy on this one.
Okay.
Lead magnet is a totally different strategy over the holidays. Obviously, I have a lot of holiday lead magnets. It's harder for me to think about this like in the business space, like how would you create a lead magnet during the holidays, right? I mean, for you personally, maybe it's like how to maximize your Q4 earnings, you know.
Well, no, I'm thinking from Bumblebee Linen's blog perspective, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, it's content still.
Yeah. So for Bumblebee, you know, some sort of free holiday printable, like table settings. I mean, you sell napkins, right? So, and things like that. So, like, how to do a tablescape, right? Six holiday tablescapes that you've never seen before, things like that. Like, that stuff's really, it's all over Pinterest already right now for Thanksgiving. Like, that's all I'm seeing.
So what are the chances of busting into Pinterest if you mention that there's already a whole bunch of stuff out there?
I think that's still possible. Like, to me, it's content that people are searching for. People are looking for table setting guides and things like, nobody knows how to, what forks to put where and all that stuff. Like, people are looking to do it in a, you know, there's all the ranges, right? You have to find the niche. Like, do you want like an extravagant one? Do you want one where it's more crafty? Do you want one that's more like budget conscious? Like, hey, everything was from the Dollar Tree. So you find your niche that would be aligned with your customer. And then that's kind of the content that you would create. So you want to niche it down a little bit. Or you could just do like 25 amazing tablescapes. And of course, the top three are things that you've created.
Yeah.
And then you're just linking out to other people.
Right. I don't like that part of it, but yes.
I know. But you're linking out to like home ec blogs, right? You're not linking out to other linens companies.
Right.
You know?
And then I guess I could solicit those pictures from other websites also, right?
Yeah.
To make it easier. I like that idea.
Yeah. So my thinking with Q4 is that there's a lot more people on the internet looking for things. Right. Everyone kind of has this open mind, open wallet. So this is the time to start throwing things at the wall. Like, you know, a gift guide for Mother's Day is going to do well, but it's not going to do as well as a stocking stuffer guide. Right. Because there's so many different like niches you could do with stocking stuffers or even in your space, I think, you know, you couldn't really do a gift guide for the entrepreneur, but I mean, you could do something like, you know, top 10
actually,
books to get. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The books. Yeah. That's what I was
books,
thinking.
Books or like, you know, top 10 things to get a YouTuber for Christmas. Like you could find angles to do this, you know, where it's like you find and obviously you find the products with affiliate links and things like that, like all that stuff. Because there's people out there that are like, oh, I got to get my nephew something and I have no idea what he's into, but I know he's a gamer. Right. So you find that niche, whatever it is, like but everyone's looking for things at this point. So why not capitalize on it by delivering that content to people that they are looking for?
You know, I will try that on YouTube. I'm actually curious. A YouTube video like this would probably work pretty well.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I wonder if my audience would be receptive to it, but I'll try it for sure.
I mean, it kind of doesn't hurt. I mean, I know with YouTube, like you don't want to mess with your algorithm, but you've worked really hard. to get where you are. You don't want to mess it up.
I've worked very hard to promote my bland teaching style image on YouTube, and I don't want to mess it up with
that. That's right. You got a good thing going. So that's the first thing is like, okay, direct like promoting affiliate products, like sales, right? The other thing is if you do have an ad network or you're using Google, you know, ads on your site.
AdSense, you mean?
Yeah, okay. AdSense. Yep. You know, you want to think about like, how do I keep people on my page longer? How do I, because the CPMs are up for everybody in the holidays. Like everyone pays more. So you might get 100,000 page views in March and you'll earn $2,000. You might get that same 100,000 page views in December and it'll be, or November, December, and it'll be worth double that because advertisers are paying more money. So I think the other strategy, which is why I came up with that 100 Christmas gift idea, because I wanted people clicking around. So be thinking about like what you can do on your site. So one of the easiest ways to do this is go into Google Analytics, pull your top posts from last November and December. So just, you know, I'm not going to try to detail how to go into analytics over.
Don't bother. Yeah. Those are straightforward instructions. Yeah.
Google it and figure out how to pull your top posts for those dates. And then, you know, usually there's, with me and with most people that I know, there's like 5 to 10 top winners, right? There's 5 to 10 posts that just crush it. And then everything else is just a trickle. So ignore everything else and look at those 5 to 10 posts and then go, okay, which ones of these are like truly something that will like work during the holiday. Sometimes there's just like an outlier in there where you're like, okay, that doesn't make any sense at all. It probably got picked up by SEO or, you know, who knows what happened. And then go to each one of those posts and just optimize the crap out of them, right?
Define optimize.
Like, okay, have you done all of the like copywriting techniques that are, you know, is your title great? Are you using heading tags? Do you have bold? Are all your affiliate links still working?
Oh, okay. Right? Okay.
Yeah.
So you're just like checking to make sure that everything is in order and then maybe beefing it up a little bit.
Yes. Beefing it up and then thinking like, okay, what's your lead magnet on that page? I know for you, you have basically like one lead magnet, but a lot of people have multiple lead magnets. So like what lead magnet is on that page? Is it performing? How did it perform last year? And a lot of times like you have these posts that do well, but you just forget about them, or they do well seasonally and you forget about them because it's not that season. But trying to optimize the post in the end of November when it's already had twice the page views that it normally has, you're losing out on stuff. Is there a product you can create and sell on that post? Right. So one of the things I did with the homemade Christmas, because it was getting so much traffic, is I turned all that content into ebooks. So I got permission from the people that submitted their crafts and then obviously my own crafts. And I made like two or three ebooks over the several years that I did that. And I sold the ebooks on that page.
Interesting. Just give me some numbers here. How much was the ebook?
It was like $1.99, $2.99, super cheap.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah. Sold it on Kindle.
This is not on Amazon. This is on, sold on Kindle.
So the first time I did one PDF and it did, I want to say a couple thousand dollars, which... Like the content
That's
was already
good.
The content was
for
already created. Yeah. I sold a lot because that page got so much traffic, right? But then I was like, what if I put it on Kindle and got all the bloggers to promote it too? Because they're going to drop an affiliate cookie with Amazon. Bloggers love to promote free crap, you know, or cheap crap on Amazon, because then someone at Christmas time is going to buy a big screen TV. So you think about it, you're some Joe blogger and you know, I reach out to you and say, hey, I've got this Kindle book. I'm selling it for 99 cents on Kindle the next 2 days. It'd be great to promote to your audience. Not because I really think these people are going to buy the ebook, although they did. But like people are on Amazon during the holidays already shopping. So they're going to buy maybe the 99 cent book, but they're also going to buy, you know, a Christmas tree stand, a mixer for somebody, toys for their kids. And the next thing you know, you've got a $500 Amazon order because you promoted my 99 cent ebook. So like the first year I did that, the ebook at 99 cents made like 10 grand.
That is nuts.
Yeah, that's insane, right? Like, and I mean, the book was well done. Like I had a great cover. Like I did spend some time on it. Like I have my editor do it, but it was a well put together piece of content on Amazon. It wasn't just
sorry, walk
together.
Me through this approaching bloggers concept.
Yeah.
Pretend I'm a lifestyle blogger. What would you say to me?
Hey, Steve, love your post on lemon meringue pie. Such a treat. I never thought about freezing the lemons first. Anyway, yeah, you throw something out there to show that you've read their site.
Right.
And then say, hey, I'm running a promotion on my Kindle book next Friday and Saturday. Put the dates in there. Put a link to the book. Put a blurb about the book, right? So they don't have to do anything. I think it'd be great to promote to your audience. Plus, who doesn't like to drop an Amazon cookie? Throw that in there just to remind them why they should really be doing this. You know, love to have you promote it. Thanks so much. Let me know if I can do anything for you. End of story.
Okay. And then when they promote it, are they allowed to do that in an email? They are, right?
They are, but they have to link to their site to then link to
Amazon. To their site. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Right.
I think there's some cloaking stuff you can do, but I wouldn't recommend, like, that's not my expertise.
Interesting. And what would you say is your hit rate for such a approach?
It really depends on the product. Like an ebook's kind of an easy sell for people because a lot of times people will just share it out there like on social, or, you know, they'll put it in a list of like great deals on Amazon today, or, you know, and because it was a it was a holiday book, it made sense. I probably wouldn't approach people and say like, hey, I have a book on container gardening in September or in November, right? Like it was relevant to like, hey, it's a book of Christmas crafts. So it made sense for them to promote it during the holiday season.
So these are deal bloggers per se or no?
I hit up lifestyle bloggers, anyone who did crafts, everybody whose thing was in the book.
Uh-huh.
Like I sent it to them because I used other people's content with permission in the book. And so, I mean, I don't know what the hit rate was because I didn't.
Are these cold prospects? Actually is what I was getting at. Or are they warm?
I would say both.
Okay.
I mean, it's not fair because I know a lot of bloggers, right? So it's hard for me to have somebody that I don't know in any way in that lifestyle space, right? At least we know of each other. We might not know each other.
Right. So you automatically get some cred, right? Because they've heard of you before. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
But, and then you did that through attending events? Just
attending events, okay. Networking. And also, like, I promote other people. Like, can I share something on social from you? Like, and I did it without asking, too. Like, if I saw something, I would retweet it, or I would, you know, share it, reshare it on Facebook, or anything that I could do. Like, I'd link to them on my blog if they had a cool thing. Like, what I, you know, as you know, like, building relationships has always been very important to me. So I had already been building those relationships over time. But you can, with my essential oils list, I cold emailed people. And I got, right. I think, I don't remember what the hit rate was, but it was decent. Like, it was probably 1 in 15 people.
That is actually really good.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And I emailed them as my jewelry business, not as, obviously it's me, but like, I emailed them not from Happy Housewife. So.
Okay.
But that's just one more thing. Like, that's this point of like looking at those pieces of content on your site. Like, it just happened to be for me that I was like, I had no idea that post was going to go, or that page was going to go crazy with all the page views. But as soon as it did, I was like, okay, I've got to monetize this directly. Like, ad revenue is great. Affiliate links are great. But like, Mod Pods cost $7.99. So what am I making? 32 cents when someone buys it? Like, you know, that's not how you get rich. So I think, and that's what people need to be thinking about is when they look at that content that's on their site already. Okay, what else can I do to monetize this content? What sort of thing can I sell or really push? Like, maybe it's a high converting or a high paying affiliate offer that maybe you haven't thought about. So there's just a lot of different things that you can do. And I think the thing that I want to stress a lot to people is that people are spending money during this time. So it's easier to convince somebody to buy something in November than it is in March.
You know, it's funny. I never actually thought about selling the ebook because for our Bumblebee Linens blog, we actually have all these crafts on there, mm-hmm. which we've compiled to probably 4 or 5 ebooks at this point. We use them as lead magnets, you know, to our main list, and then we try to market our products to them. But not all of them are interested in our products. They just wanted the content. So I wonder if how polished do these books have to be?
I mean, there weren't any typos. They were well done.
Well, assuming there's no typos and stuff, like aesthetically, does it... Like, do you open it and go, wow, this is...
No, it's like crafts. There's a picture of the craft that, like, someone else took with a phone. It's not Better Homes and Gardens. But also, like, remember, I'm selling it for $0.99, $1.99.
That's what I mean. Just
it's not
to
Joanna
get people
Gaines,
to open up.
You know, $34 coffee table book of Magnolia, you know, which I also own and love and happily paid $34 for.
I'm just thinking for 99 cents, can you walk me through like, okay, so 99 cents, like the PayPal fees on that alone are like 50 cents probably, right? So is it just to get people to open up their wallets or?
Yeah, well, like if it's sitting on my site, well, first of all, it was on Amazon. So that's a cookie issue, right? Like the Amazon place. So on my site, I don't think I ever sold it for 99 cents. But when someone bought it on my site, I also got their email.
Right.
So they're paying me for me to get their email address, right? So who cares if I make 25 cents or 35 cents or even 50 cents on it? Now I have their email and I know what they like because they bought a book of Christmas crafts.
I just like the aspect if they open up their wallets, that means they're probably going to buy from you again, right? That's the aspect I like about this.
And the other thing that you have to think about too is this is like I did not have a physical product at the time.
Right.
So for me, any way I can get people to spend money to me is a big deal because I don't have a $30 product to sell or a $50 product to sell to anybody. I can only sell them affiliates and page views and, you know, I can get page views to get sponsored content, right? But I don't have like a mechanism to like people in e-commerce where it's like, hey, if I want to make my client money, I send an email. You know, it's just not as simple when you don't have anything to sell.
I don't know if you've seen the ebooks that we offer on Bumblebee Linens.
I have.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Yes.
They could be revamped with larger images, but do you think realistically I should sell those or just give them away?
I mean, I don't think it would hurt to try to sell one or two.
Okay.
Right? Like what? I mean, if they don't sell, you just put them back to free, right? It's not.
Yeah. I guess there's no harm in trying.
Right. It would be an interesting idea because I've never tried to sell a digital. Well, okay. So my client does, but it would be interesting to see if people would convert. So one of the things I noticed with my client, because she sells physical products and she sells books, curriculum, But she also, we do these challenges, right? And their challenges are just to grow the email list. And then the challenges are always related to a product. So eventually there's a sell on a product at some point. But they really aren't pushed during the challenge. But once the challenge is done, sometimes we take those challenges. And the challenges are free. So you can, you know, all you have to do is sign up. It's 5 days of email or video or whatever it is. But we take some of those challenges and make them paid courses. So, you know, what we did for free for 5 days, we're now charging $15 for in a paid course. And it's those convert. Now, they don't, I don't know what the exact stats on there are. They're not like selling like hotcakes, but they convert. And it's funny to me that like this was something that was totally available for free. And there's probably some way that you could still get on that lead magnet and get it for free in some place on the internet, you know, because I'm sure it's not totally just gone. But yet people still pay $15 for this digital piece of content in a physical product store, which is very interesting to me.
That is very interesting, actually.
Like, could you think about this? Maybe you did like a 3 day, you know, what is it, like a hosting guide?
A 3 day crying challenge?
Yeah.
Cry in your handkerchiefs?
How many handkerchiefs can I cry through?
I'm working on a challenge right now for Bumblebee. I'm not sure how it's going to go, but it was going to be like a gratitude challenge. You know, like if you're thinking about someone, sending them a nice message with a hanky or whatever.
I like it.
I like it too, but it's not my style. And I'm like writing this out right now. It basically involves going live and just talking about what you're grateful for.
Yes.
Which I think people would dig.
I did one last year with my client.
Oh, you did?
We have a gratitude one? Challenge, yeah.
Oh, I would love to see yours then. Yeah, you think I can pull it off?
I'm laughing as you're telling me this. What? But so, yes, I think you could pull it off. But here's where I'm thinking. Like, I don't think you could charge for a gratitude.
No. I wouldn't charge for it at all. It'd be a free challenge. And the idea is, okay, I know this is not the topic of today's episode, but...
No, but it's a holiday-specific thing.
You start out by saying, okay, the first week of the challenge, you'll be like, okay, go through your Rolodex.
Yeah.
If anyone's young and listening to this, they probably don't know what Rolodex is.
Right,
it's basically
now.
Your phone book. And just text people, say, hey, I was just thinking about you the other day.
Yeah.
Like, I'm grateful to have you as a friend.
Yeah.
The second week, and then, like, the way we tie our products into this is, like, okay, send someone a letter or something physical in the mail.
Yes.
Right, the next week. And that could be like a handkerchief with just like, hey, I miss you, or I'm just thinking about you.
Yeah.
And whatnot. And then I was going to make this 5 weeks, and I still need to figure out what the last couple weeks are. But the next step, obviously, would be to pick up the phone, right? And actually talk to someone.
People are going to need some therapy for that.
Exactly. or think about like your parents and just... give your parents a call if you haven't talked to them and say, hey, I'm really grateful that you brought me up and that sort of thing. And then everyone feels good and they share their stories online. That was my thought.
I like it.
Yeah.
So let me take it in a different direction for you.
Yes. Yes.
Because I don't think you could sell. I don't think you could ever charge for that.
I agree.
Because it's about gratitude, and that feels icky.
I know, charging for gratitude.
For $19.95, I'm going to teach you how to be grateful and show your friends what a grateful human you are. Okay, so let's take it a different direction, and let's talk about table settings, right, with napkins and decor and, you know, napkin folding, like all this stuff, and place cards. And, you know, you've got this whole genre, right, that people get super into. I'm not into it. Like last year... our friend Natalie, who owns Totally Dazzled, she sent me some napkin rings a couple years ago, and they're so glam. I love them, but I have no napkins, right? So I was like, I had to go order napkins off Amazon. I know, don't
what,
be
you
mad.
Order napkins on Amazon?
I know.
Not me?
I know. I'm sorry.
What?
I'm sorry. I wasn't going to tell you. I forgot. I got carried away with the story.
God, I'm hurt. Clearly, you got the cheap ones then.
I did. I didn't order the quality stuff. Because I was like, I don't know if I like... I'm a napkin person.
I would have just given you the napkins.
I know. I was
my used napkins.
I know. Yeah, they have like spaghetti sauce on them and stuff. So anyway, I did this whole thing, and I was like, "Oh, I can kind of get into this." Like, I do have some Christmas dishes that I never take out because I have nowhere to put them. But anyway, so maybe you do like a 3 day table setting challenge boot camp, right? Where you're going to teach people how to create beautiful place settings for the holidays. Right, with, you know, minimal.
I actually like your idea better. I think it lends it more to monetization, right?
You're like, yes. So you're like, plus I don't have to act like I'm grateful for anything. I don't have to call anybody.
Actually, I really like this. I'm glad we're having this interview here. Yeah.
Anyway, so you do this like it's 3 days in a row, right? And it's primarily email with some video content put in. Maybe you go live one day to answer questions about like table etiquette and, you know, how to seat people, whatever. I don't know enough about that stuff, but I know that there's a big market for it. What I'm curious about is like you take that content, you have it free, people sign up, you get their emails, yada, yada, yada. You're promoting your own products through the whole thing, right? You're wearing an apron as you're doing it, like get it all in there. But then, like, would people then pay for a table setting course if you turned it into a course?
I think people would if it's cheap enough.
Yes, like you make it like $9.97 or $14.97.
I like this idea. Oh my, why did I think, what is this gratitude stuff? Okay, this is easy. We would just do a different napkin fold every day.
Yes.
And I would just demonstrate it live
on
camera. Even I could be on camera for this.
Yeah, you could. Just make sure you're like in a collared shirt. Don't worry.
I would dress up like a waiter with like a napkin draped over my.
Yeah.
I would be in a tux maybe or something.
Yeah. Or like, and you could even do some like how to make the kids' table fun, or, you know, you could do like there's all these angles you could take with it. You could easily come up with 3 days of content for this, right? So I think it would like drive engagement. It would get people on your list. Like you would have all the, you know, it'd help your engagement on your social channels. But then I think you could probably like edit that stuff and make it paid. Right. And just put it in your store, like, you know, how to host a dinner party, like whatever you want to call it. Obviously, you would want to SEO it out and stuff like that. I think people
could go on the YouTube channel, too.
It could. You're welcome.
I like this idea so much better than the gratitude challenge.
Because I like the gratitude challenge, too. I don't.
No, I like it, too.
Yeah.
For like brand purposes. I don't think it would make any sales personally. Although people would like the company more. And
yes.
Then,
I think it's more of a goodwill.
Correct. So I might still do that. But I just want to give some credit to Alicia Reynoso. This is the person I interviewed on my podcast. Her episode isn't live yet. But
okay.
Challenges basically grew her business to like multi-millions.
Yeah.
Hers was more fitness oriented. So that's why I was thinking about different ways to incorporate challenges. But I like that the table setting one's practical and people will get to know you too.
Yes.
If you're doing this live, you can actually talk to your customers about all this and they'd be interested in this. The gratitude applies to more people, but it's kind of random, right? For a linens business. Although our company our purpose is sentimentality, right?
Yeah.
With our products.
I think you could totally do a gratitude challenge as well. I don't think that the monetization angle is the same. It's more of a brand goodwill angle.
Correct. Okay.
So, I think you need both, right? You need both in your business. Like, I don't think one is necessarily better than the other. I think they are equally great. They're just for different purposes.
Right. And we'd be decked out in aprons that we sell with our name on it. And
you could make the hanky bonnet, wear it.
Yes, we can do that. I like this idea so much. Okay, this one seems much more intuitive.
Okay, but see, here's the thing. Okay. This is where this would come in. If you're listening to this, it's just you have something different. You don't have a napkins company. But like you look on your content, right, from last year, and you find that your napkin folding tutorial page is like your highest blog post. Hypothetically, I don't even know if it is. That's where I would think like, oh, I'm going to do this challenge. I'm going to do it because that page is probably going to get traffic again this year because it's cyclical, right? Like it's either going to come up Pinterest, SEO, it's going to get reshared somewhere. So that's where those looking into Google Analytics comes in and trying to find those opportunities that are already there for you. You're not having to create you're having to create something new, but you're not having to do everything new, right? You already have something that has some traction and you're just adding to it. Because the reality is a lot of times we put out content and we don't know how it's going to do. We think it'll do well, or we hope that it'll hit, you know, maybe you're like, this is really going to kill it on social media, or I like totally can rank for this because there's no competition or whatever it is. But you don't necessarily know. But when you can look back historically and say, oh, this did do well, how can I make more money from this stuff that's already performing? It's way easier than trying to do something new.
I love it. I love this episode.
I told you there's like stuff you need to be doing.
Well, no, I know. I mean, you're clearly been doing this because my blog, My Wife Quit, it's kind of one dimensional in this aspect, right?
Yeah.
Although there's probably stuff I could do, but for Bumblebee, like all these things that you were suggesting totally apply.
Yeah.
And we already have tons of content.
Yeah. And I don't think I don't think there's any niche specific that this doesn't work. Like, I think you can do this in any niche. You just have to sometimes get a little more creative. You could totally do this on My Wife Quit Her Job. You would just have to get more creative about what it is. And actually, I don't think for you with My Wife Quit Her Job, it is actually that hard, because you could totally do, if you wanted to do a challenge, you could totally do like a Q4 challenge, right?
Walk me through that.
Like how to prep your store for Q4, how to, everything you need to do to be ready for Q4.
Yeah, I mean, I do stuff like that already.
Yeah.
I have content that I've done, but mainly for the private class, not publicly, I guess.
But you could do like a little mini boot camp for people that aren't in the course.
Yeah. I mean, I already have like 5 boot camps already.
Yeah.
For Bumblebee, this is a lot more interesting, because finally I feel like I could be the one on camera, because Jen doesn't like doing this stuff.
Yes.
So I could totally do a napkin fold and pull it off.
Yeah.
And be kind of goofy on video too.
Well, I also think if you do it, like, it kind of shows that, because sometimes I used to love like Martha Stewart. I still like Martha Stewart, but like Julia Child, Martha Stewart, stuff like that. And I would watch their shows back when they had, I don't know if they have, Julia Child doesn't have a show on TV anymore, but I don't know what they're doing, what Martha's doing. But I used to, like, back when I was first married, I would watch their content, but I was always like, yeah, but like, it's Julia Child's, right? Like, there's no way I can make this dish, because it's, I don't know, it's got 20 ingredients in it and I don't even own that pan. So I think like one of the things that would be nice about you doing it is that you would feel a little more like, this dude can do it, like anybody can do it.
Right.
You
know, I'll just come on and say, hey, I'm an idiot, I don't know about any of this stuff, and if I can do it, so can you.
Yeah, but I think there's something about being relatable, because there's always going to be like the Better Homes and Gardens and those people that are doing this kind of stuff, but it's also way more interesting to me when it's someone that looks like me, but like I feel like is like, okay, you're kind of, you don't have a background in entertaining, or, you know, you're not a professionally trained chef.
Right.
So if you can do this, then I can do it. And I think that's appealing to people.
My name is Steve. I design microprocessors for a living, and I'm going to teach you how to fold napkins today. How ridiculous is that?
I love it though.
Okay. I love all these ideas.
Well, and that's the point of this whole, this is why I want to do this podcast now, is that like, if you start thinking about this today, you're going to get some awesome ideas in the next couple of weeks that you can start implementing.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.